listening to TJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC.
Donating to CJSF 90.1 FM's fund drive is awesome, and so are you, which is why we think you're a perfect match. Keep being awesome and donate now at cgsf.ca/donate to support your awesome campus community radio station, CJSF 90.1 FM.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
I wish God will have mercy on us and the war stops. We suffered a lot. We cannot bear what's happening to us. We cannot handle anymore. Even mountains wouldn't bear what we're going through.
The death toll in Gaza has topped 8,300 as Israel intensifies its ground and aerial attack on the besieged territory. As fear grows, Israel will bomb the Al-Quds Hospital in Gaza City. We'll get the latest. Then about 400 people were arrested Friday as they shut down Grand Central Station in New York, calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. The group Jewish Voice for Peace said it was the largest act of civil disobedience in New York City in 20 years.
I am a rabbi, and I am demanding a ceasefire and a stop to the genocide that is occurring in my name as a Jew and as a rabbi. My grandparents were in the Holocaust. Never again is now. Never again for anyone.
Then, as the United States joins with Israel in voting against a UN General Assembly resolution for a humanitarian truce, we'll look at Washington's support for Israel's bombardment of Gaza. We'll speak to Chicago Congressmember Delia Ramirez and Laura Friedman of the Foundation for Middle East Peace. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli tanks reached the outskirts of Gaza City after Israel carried out its most intense bombardment of the besieged Palestinian territory since October 7th. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said Saturday a ground invasion had begun and warned of a long and difficult campaign ahead. Gaza's health ministry says Israeli attacks have killed more than 8,300 Palestinians, including nearly 3,500 children. Fears are growing of a possible strike on the Al-Quds Hospital in Gaza City after Israel Sunday ordered its immediate evacuation. Airstrikes have repeatedly struck near the hospital, where an estimated 14,000 Palestinians are sheltering. On Sunday, internet and cell phone access was restored to parts of the Gaza Strip after Israel blacked out all communications for Gaza's 2.3 million people. Most of Gaza remains without electricity. Tens of thousands, including pregnant people and babies, have been forced to drink brackish or contaminated water. The UN agency serving Palestinians says Gazans have reached their breaking point after more than 3 weeks of bombardments and total siege. Israeli strikes have killed at least 59 UNRWA employees, with many more believed to be trapped under the rubble. On Saturday, families of Israelis held hostage by Hamas met with Prime Minister Netanyahu, urging him to halt strikes that could jeopardize their loved ones. The families are calling on Israel to exchange thousands of Palestinian prisoners for the more than 200 Israelis believed to be in Hamas's custody in Gaza. Meanwhile, Netanyahu has apologized after he published, then deleted, a social media post blaming defense and intelligence officials for failing to warn him ahead of Hamas's deadly attack on October 7th. The Palestinian Health Ministry says the death toll from the Israeli attacks in the occupied West Bank has reached 111 since October 7th. At least seven of those were killed by Israeli settlers, including 40-year-old Bilal Mohammed Saleh, who was fatally shot Saturday near Nablus as he was harvesting olives with his family. On Friday, residents of the Jenin refugee camp said Israeli army bulldozers destroyed a memorial for the Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh, erected at the spot where she was fatally shot in the head by an Israeli sniper in May of 2022. The UN General Assembly voted 120-14 Friday in favor of a resolution calling for an immediate humanitarian truce and for aid access to Gaza. Israel and the U.S. voted against the resolution, which also calls for the release of captive civilians. 45 member states abstained, including Canada. Some countries, including South Africa, urged the United Nations to do much more to stop the bloodshed.
South Africa urges the United Nations to impose an arms embargo on all parties involved in this conflict, given the nature of the death and destruction we are witnessing every day.
The resolution is non-binding but holds political and symbolic weight. Over the weekend, hundreds of thousands of people joined Palestinian solidarity marches from London to Istanbul to Wellington, New Zealand. In the U.S., demonstrators in San Francisco blocked traffic on Highway 101 and held a vigil in front of Congressmember Nancy Pelosi's house. In Philadelphia, Jewish American groups led an action in front of the office of Senator John Fetterman, a staunch defender of Israel. Here in New York, thousands of people led by Jewish Voice for Peace converged at Grand Central Station Friday night for the largest sit-in protest the city's seen in over two decades. Among the massive crowd were elected officials, rabbis, and academics. New York police arrested nearly 400 people. Before she was arrested, I spoke with Rosalind Pacheski, a professor of political science at Hunter College.
We believe in justice and the right to live for everyone, but Palestinians have been the victims of oppression for 75 years, and it has to stop. That's why we're here, to say not in our name. I am older than the state of Israel.
After headlines, we'll air more voices from Friday's historic Grand Central protest. In Maine, authorities Friday discovered the body of the suspect in a mass shooting rampage at a bar and bowling alley that killed 18 people in Lewiston last week. 40-year-old Robert Carr died of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot. His body was found in a trailer at a recycling facility in the nearby town of Lisbon 2 days after the shooting. He'd reportedly recently been fired from the recycling center. A motive for the massacre is not known, though authorities say the shooter frequented the bar and bowling alley with his ex-girlfriend. Maine police were alerted last month that the Army reservist was a possible danger after he threatened to shoot up his military base. Local officials and residents of Lewiston express relief as they now reckon with the tragedy's aftermath. Leroy Walker, a city councilor, is the father of one of the 18 victims, Joseph Walker.
Joe was the only one that would come up and hug me and say, I love you, Dad, I love you, Dad. And sometimes I'd say, I love you back. Sometimes I wouldn't say that. And he'd say, I understand, Dad. But I didn't understand. I should have said it a million times. Because it ain't going to happen no more. And I got my other boys out there. When I see them, I'm going to tell them I love them. Oh, I miss them so much.
The United Auto Workers reached a tentative deal with Stellantis on Saturday. It comes just 3 days after the UAW announced a tentative agreement with Ford, leaving GM as the only member of the big three automakers that's yet to make a deal with the union. This is UAW President Sean Fain.
We called it the stand-up strike as a tribute to the sit-down strike, which built our great union almost 90 years ago. The sit-down strike showed the incredible power of regular working class people to fight for economic justice and win big. After 44 days of occupying the GM plant in Flint, Michigan, the UAW announced victory. On day 44 of our stand-up strike, I'm honored to announce that our union is again victorious.
The proposal includes reviving an Illinois assembly plant that had been shuttered since February and cost 1,200 UAW members their jobs. Some 5,000 jobs will be added to the Stellantis workforce, along with significant raises and end to tiered wages. In light of the success of the strike, the UAW said it's planning to organize workers at non-union automakers like Toyota, Honda, and Tesla. In Iran, a 16-year-old girl has died weeks after she was reportedly assaulted by Iran's morality police for not wearing a headscarf. Armita Garavand was hospitalized with brain injuries, fell into a coma after witnesses said she was beaten by officers in a Tehran subway station earlier this month. Amnesty International has called on the Iranian government to launch an independent investigation into her death, which comes about a year after 22-year-old Mahsa Amini died in custody of the so-called morality police. In Germany, 1,000 climate activists with the group Last Generation and Extinction Rebellion Netherlands blockaded a major road in Berlin Saturday. Some demonstrators glued themselves to the road's surface. Dozens were arrested in their latest act of peaceful civil disobedience as they demand the German government transition to a fossil fuel-free economy by 2030.
As healthcare workers, we are already seeing the first consequences of people dying because it's too hot in the summer, that people with pre-existing conditions suffer more and more, that old people or especially vulnerable groups are the first to be affected in extreme weather. But even if we think that none of this affects us because we are young and healthy enough, when flood waves come, as they did suddenly and violently in the Ahr Valley, or forest fires, as we have seen on the news several times, none of us is safe. The climate crisis affects us all, and the climate crisis kills.
And the Bangladeshi climate scientist Salimul Haque has died in Dhaka at the age of 71. Salimul Haque served as lead author on two of the definitive assessments of the Earth's climate published by the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. He was the director of the International Center for Climate Change and Development in Bangladesh. In 2021, he appeared on Democracy Now! Saying wealthy nations like the United States and Germany have a lot to learn about climate adaptation from poorer countries like Bangladesh.
The number of deaths that we saw in Germany, in one of the richest countries in the world, nearly 200 Germans actually died from flash floods, would never have happened in Bangladesh. We would have evacuated them. We do evacuate everybody that's in the path of floods or in cyclones. In Germany, they weren't able to do that. So Germany could learn a lot from Bangladesh, and so could the United States.
Salimul Haque has died of a heart attack in Bangladesh at the age of 71. To see all of our interviews with him, go to democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's intensifying its aerial bombardment and ground invasion of Gaza. Palestinian officials say the death toll has topped 8,300, including over 3,400 children. On Friday, Israeli ground troops backed by tanks and armored bulldozers entered Gaza amidst a communication blackout that cut off contact between Gaza and the rest of the world. Communications have now been partially restored. On Friday, the UN General Assembly overwhelmingly voted in support of a humanitarian truce, but Israel and the United States voted against the resolution. Massive demonstrations calling for a ceasefire in Gaza continued this weekend, including right here in New York City. On Friday night, thousands of members of Jewish Voice for Peace, New York City, and their allies shut down the main terminal of Grand Central Station during rush hour. It's the largest sit-in protest the city's seen in over two decades. Many wore shirts that said, "Not in our name," and "Ceasefire now." Banners were unfurled reading, "Palestinians should be free. Israelis demand ceasefire now." One sign read, "Never again for anyone." The multiracial intergenerational movement says about 400 people were arrested, including rabbis, famous actors, and elected officials from New York State Assembly and Senate and the City Council. Democracy Now! Is there. Today we bring you their voices, including Rosalind Pacheski, professor of political science at Hunter College.
Maybe 1,000 others, a lot of us Jews, but we are here to protest the genocide that is happening in our name. It has to stop. We are crying every minute. When we listen to your show, we are crying. I have a dear friend, Mohammed, with his little family in Gaza. He almost got blown up today. We can't let this go on. We believe justice and the right to live for everyone. But Palestinians have have been the victims of oppression for 75 years, and it has to stop. That's why we're here, to say not in our name. I am older than the state of Israel.
There's Jewish prayers in the background. The sun is going down, and it's the Jewish Sabbath.
It is. And on Shabbat, we have to pray. We have to recommit ourselves to justice. I believe that Judaism and Jewish ethics, this is how I grew up thinking, are about justice and about Rabbi Hillel's statement, if I am not for myself, who am I? And if I am not, if I am only for me, what am I doing here? I glossed over it a little bit. And if not now,
ceasefire now. I've never been prouder of the 18 Congress persons who have called for a ceasefire now, and I'm calling on President Biden and Senator Schumer and my assembly person, Nadler. Please, please, these are not Jewish values. It is not a Jewish value to be dropping bombs on children, killing children and their families.
I am State Senator Jabari Brisport, the 25th State Senate District in Brooklyn, and I'm here calling for a ceasefire in order to allow for the release of hostages and humanitarian aid. I carry the Not on Our Dime legislation with Assemblymember Mamdani, which will stop New York from allowing for fake charities that claim to be charities to help Israeli citizens, but actually fund displacement and destruction and settler violence in Palestinian territory.
Are you planning to get arrested today?
I got arrested a week ago, and I am I'm going to let others step up today. I got arrested a week ago at a sit-in outside Senator Gillibrand's office, asking her to start calling for a ceasefire.
My name is Zohran Mamdani. I'm an assembly member for parts of Astoria and Long Island City, and I'm here today to join thousands of Jewish New Yorkers, rabbis, and allies to say that the time is now for an immediate ceasefire.
Are you willing to get arrested?
I'm not going to be getting arrested today because I was arrested 2 weeks ago and I was advised to not get arrested immediately after.
What were you arrested for?
I was arrested for civil disobedience, for disorderly conduct. I was arrested alongside Assemblymember Marcela Matanis in front of Senator Chuck Schumer's home, calling on him to support the demand for an immediate ceasefire.
What does it mean to you that on this Shabbos, this Jewish Sabbath, thousands of Jews are here at Grand Central saying ceasefire now?
It shows that what we have been told about the consent for this genocide is not true. So many of the Jewish New Yorkers here are struggling through heartbreak and mourning of October 7th, and they have made it very clear that do not use their heartbreak, their tragedy, as a justification for the genocide of Palestinians. In over 2.5 weeks, we've already seen more than 7,000 Palestinians be killed, close to 3,000 Palestinian children, one Palestinian child killed every 15 minutes. These New Yorkers and so many across the state are saying the time is now for a ceasefire, and if you're not calling for it, you're supporting a genocide.
Sandy Nurse, I'm a council member to the 37th District.
And you represent what area of the city?
Bushwick, Cypress Hills, Brownsville, East New York, City Line.
And why are you here today?
I'm here today to stand in solidarity with Jews, Muslims, allies, because we believe in a free Palestine. We believe in a Palestine without military occupation. We believe that we need to end this genocidal war. And we do not believe that our dollars, our tax dollars, should be used to bomb other children. We don't believe that unjustified murder of one set of children brings about murder for another set of children. We need to end this war, and we need to move towards a peaceful solution.
Are you a presidential member of the media? I'm going to ask you as a courtesy, please, to leave the steps. They're playing an announcement that people are obstructing the steps. They're in violation. They're going to start possibly making arrests.
So if you're a presidential member of the media, I'm going to ask you for the same courtesy. If you please leave the area.
We don't condone this, and Netanyahu better stop the bombing of Gaza. You know, this didn't start with Hamas. This started in 1948, when 750,000 Palestinians were removed from where they live in order to set up a Jewish state. So listen, and these people that they're killing in Gaza, they were moved to Gaza because of the 1948 Nakba, which means catastrophe. And now they're going to eliminate them, kill them, or move them somewhere else. And it's got to stop. And Jews, American Jews, have to step up and say, not in our name, not with our tax money. You cannot do this kind of genocide in front of our eyes or ever again.
What, are you getting arrested today?
Oh, yeah, I am. My whole family's here. I'm here with my daughters, my grandchildren.
Central to show that we, the people here, will not tolerate
because I have a cane. They won't arrest me. I want to get arrested. They're refusing. Yes, I want to get arrested.
All right, well, help you stand up.
Okay. I need help standing up.
It's unbelievable.
Put your hands behind your back.
I need my cane.
We'll get it.
My name is Joyce Ravitz. I think that it's really important that there's a ceasefire.
Let go your cane. One second,
ma'am, can you let go of your cane for a second?
I let go of my cane.
I'll be right back to you. I'll be right back.
There's a ceasefire that people stop killing each other. We have to stop killing each other. We can't, we won't get rid of Hamas. We won't get rid of an idea. We might get rid of the organization. We might get rid of all of the people in Gaza. All of the Palestinians might be killed, but the idea won't die. Freedom won't die.
Voices from the historic Jewish Voice for Peace protest on Friday that shut down Grand Central Station in New York City. Protesters were calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. About 400 people were arrested in what's believed to be the largest sit-in protest New York has seen in over two decades. Coming up, Democratic Congressmember Delia Ramirez of Chicago. She's one of 18 members of the House who've signed a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire. Stay with us.
Yeah. Well, light ain't girls like you out here in the West. I know I've been away, but I'm coming back home. No need to stress, baby. All I know, all I know, all I know is to be Palestinian, so always rep where you come from. Except when you're online at the customs. Told her she can meet me up in London. She let me cause I came from Gaza with love. But I feel like it's worse if I never went back from Gaza with love. If they had it their way, we would never go back from Gaza with love, baby. Palestine, I sincere. وبنت بلادي عشبان فضلكم احكوا مش سامع. Continue à parler, on vous entend. Continue à parler, on vous entend. Somebody tell Bella Hadid, let's change out to Abdul Hamid. Now I'm gonna come off too strong, but still I'll still fallah, I'm planting the seeds. Yeah, I can get you what you need. But I...
From Gaza with Love by Saint Levant. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Mimi Goodman. Israeli tanks have reached the outskirts of Gaza City after Israel carried out its most intense bombardment of the besieged Palestinian territory since October 7th. Gaza's health ministry says Israeli attacks have killed more than 8,300 Palestinians, including nearly 3,500 children. According to Save the Children, that's more children that have been killed in armed conflicts globally over the course of a whole year. The UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, known as UNRWA, says desperate families broke into UN warehouses Sunday, removing wheat and other humanitarian aid. UNRWA says the incident showed people in Gaza have reached a breaking point. The UN agency serving Palestinians says Gazans have reached their breaking point after more than 3 weeks of bombardments and total siege. Israeli strikes have killed at least 59 UNRWA employees, with many more believed to be trapped under the rubble. On Friday, the UN General Assembly voted 120-14 in favor of a resolution calling for an immediate humanitarian truce and for aid access to Gaza. Israel and the U.S. voted against the resolution, which also calls for the release of captive civilians. Israel believes Hamas and other groups are holding over 220 hostages seized on October 7th during the Hamas attack that Israel says killed 1,400 people. We're joined now by two guests. Laura Friedman is with us. She's president of the Foundation for Middle East Peace, a former Foreign Service officer who served in Jerusalem, Tunis, and Beirut. She's worked on Israel-Palestine and the broader region for over 30 years. We're also joined by Congressmember Delia Ramirez, who is a congressmember from Chicago. She's one of 18 members of the House of Representatives who've signed a resolution calling for an immediate de-escalation and ceasefire in Israel and Palestine. We welcome you both to Democracy Now! Congressmember Ramirez, let's begin with you in Chicago. Can you explain why you supported this ceasefire resolution?
Look, I want to see safety, and I want to see hostages released. There are 500 Americans and their families in Gaza right now, and I want to make sure that everyone is safe.